The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I am your host, John Stadtmiller. Well, I was yesterday, and I am today, and I will be tomorrow as well. If you're showing up here, you're showing up here for a good reason. Cutting-edge talk radio with a purpose. And the purpose is to discern the facts. Unlike what a lot of the media does out there, ladies and gentlemen, it gives you their opinion, and then you get to give your opinion on their opinion. Not exactly hard-nosed news gathering, the who, the what, the where, the why, and the when. So we're going to be doing that today, and my guest today is Linda Criddle. She is the president of the Safe Internet Alliance. And folks, you know, we got a real problem here. We got the 21st century version of fast mail. You know, it's mail without a stamp on it. They wanted to come in and, well, we need to put a tax or a fee on internet, and it's, you pay money for a letter, don't you? You have to buy a stamp. Well, you're going to save money. It's only going to be a nickel or only 4 cents, an email. This is the unfettered information highway worldwide. It has made many people very, very happy, but it's making a lot of people very, very unhappy. Because the name of the game is control. And they see this as a potentially dangerous, out of control. We've got to regulate. This is what this government does so very well. They have regulations for regulations. I mean, if you doubt that, start looking up their statutes, their regulations. Look at how the system is put together. Not for your benefit, for the benefit of those that would benefit the most. Those in control and those pet people that, you know, you just have this little clan and we'll just do business and we'll scratch each other's back and, yeah, you know the deal. Well, this is the last bastion, in my opinion, of unfettered freedom worldwide. But that is not sitting well with a lot of people. So we will bring Linda Criddle up here in just a couple of minutes. And understand, folks, you know, when we talk about issues such as this, it's not some kind of a way out there, etherical kind of, you know, everybody tries to do different things, but they'll never do it. Really? Hell, most of the world believes that Al Gore invented the network. Well, this person has a particularly, I would say, exceptional vantage point because she did work for Microsoft. The websites that you want to jot down and keep these, bookmark them, safeinternet.org, and then her own website, ilookbothways.com. I like that one. You want to see what's coming? You better crank your head around because I can guarantee you it is coming. What it is, how fast it is, and if it's good or bad, that's what we're here to determine. We'll take the break. Be right back with Linda Criddle right after this. Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system, complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product.
Did you ever wish that you could have done something while you still had the chance? What will you do if your income ends tomorrow? Or if you lose your home, as many already have? Do you have enough money to survive through an economic depression? If you don't want to gamble with your future, then FreeToProsper.com can help you quickly end your debt problems, protect your property and possessions, and develop a personal strategy to get you through the hard times. Most importantly, you get to keep your money and not pay another cent to creditors. Our program is often superior to bankruptcy, consolidation, or settlement. Visit FreeToProsper.com to find out more. This is your real chance to act ahead, so don't delay. Your future may depend on it. Call 718-615-0123 to learn more. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit freetoprosper.com today.
Attention, ladies. Dr. Arthur Perry is inviting you to participate in a nationwide giveaway of his Miracle Cream Night Skin. If you want smooth, firm skin with healthy collagen and elastin, you are eligible for a free 10-day supply of Night Skin, the skincare formula with proven results. Night Skin works while you sleep to even skin tones on your face and neck, exfoliate, and also reduce the appearance of fine lines. This one amazing cream does the work of four expensive products. If you want firmer, beautiful skin, and you're new to Dr. Perry's Night Skin, you're eligible to have a free 10-day supply rushed to your door. Here's how.
For your free 10-day supply of Night Skin, call 1-800-362-5848. You only pay shipping and handling. Call right now and ask for your free supply of Night Skin. Call 1-800-362-5848 and be sure to click on our banner at www.republicbroadcasting.org.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
If you don't think that the people with this global outlook on things aren't there to try to, well, just for everybody's worldwide benefit, to control things, then you need to turn the radio off because we're going to burst your bubble here. I've got Linda Criddle with me today. Hello, Linda. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you doing?
I couldn't be better. Well, yes, I could. That's a lie. things could be a whole lot nicer and better, but that's why we're here to talk about things to try to make it better, why other people are trying to make it worse. Now, your safeinternet.org. You told me that you've been doing this for about a year, and you used to work for Microsoft. First off, what did you do with Microsoft?
Well, at Microsoft, I started in the Excel business unit, became the senior financial analyst for the Office division, moved over and created the first e-commerce tools before we had such a name for that, in Microsoft's procurement division, jumped from there to the mobile technologies, and then landed in MSN, what's now Windows Live, responsible for consumer safety behind all the consumer products helping 500 million users.
Would you have been one of the persons that I eventually might have talked to because, you know, I always get these messages, we need you to update your Windows, and if you don't, we're going to cut your service off?
Yeah, I did help field some of those for consumers, though mostly that went to our standard support lines. I was going to say, when you said you could be doing better, I thought, yeah, you could be having an email that arrived to you saying that there's an uncle in Nigeria that wants to give you $10 million.
Oh, I get those. And you know what my standard response is to these people that think that I'm dumb enough to respond to them and give them all my personals on my email account? Or I've got 50 billion Zimbabwe dollars, which is actually $1.298 in American dollars. But, yeah, we need to move this money, and we're going to make you a partner. And all of these things are just scams. You know, the one trick that I use that I use it, and they never darken my internet door again, is I just email them back, okay, I've had enough of this. I'm contacting FinCEN. All you have to do is utter those words, and they disappear like, I don't know, a mouse fart here in a Texas windstorm. They're gone. They are gone. At any rate, so you don't sound like one of these, what do they call those guys, nerds?
Oh, well, thank you. Well, I try very hard to keep my nerdish side under wraps.
Okay. So, and I'm surprised you didn't do public relations for Microsoft.
Well, I did do a great deal of outreach on their behalf, but no, they didn't put me in the PR department.
Well, and you know, there's been a lot written about Microsoft and how they cornered markets and operating systems and all that. I'm here to tell you that, Linda, back in the late 70s, I was one of these younger men that thought, hey, computers are the thing of the future. Well, I went to electronic engineering school. I spent a year and a half there. I was going for an associate's and then on to a bachelor's, and I discovered I didn't really have the mind for it, but it was kind of educational. But, you know, I was there when there were no operating systems, where you had to know BASIC or Fortran, and you were sitting there with your little Tandy Radio Shack when floppy really meant floppy disk computers, and they had some rudimentary games, and that was just the frontier of consumer personal computers and how far we've come in 30 years. I mean, it's almost scary. But having said all that, it is, like anything else, it is a tool for good or a tool for bad. And in my circles, people use this for free flow of information. Are you discovering that there are people out there that don't necessarily want this free flow of information?
Well, that's certainly true, and curiously, that comes from many different aspects. I mean, you have criminal elements that very much want to control the flow of your information. You have government entities that want to control that, and they come at it from very different viewpoints of certainly the criminals and governments. Dare I lump those two anywhere close together? But the motivation for these different groups can be very different, and yet the proposed outcome is often very much the same.
Well, the complaint, and I'm sure you've heard all of these, well, these dot-commers, these people that are putting websites up and they're conducting business and they're doing, well, that's going to be real hard on the bricks and mortar people. We need to do something to control this. I don't see this as being the problem that they first cited that this would be on stationary retail outlets or, you know, corporations or chains or anything else. There's a lot of businesses conducted on the internet, but there's already, you know, if you make X number of dollars, they already have the rules out that, well, you got to pay taxes and this, that, and the other. There's already mechanisms for people to pay taxes, but we have some creative people out there, and everybody's aware of the World Health Organization. These are the people that told us that billions of people on the face of the planet was going to die if you didn't take your swine flu shot. Well, they're now in the internet business as well, or at least the control, and they're proposing that, Linda, that that we have to have taxes on this. Now, World Health Organization, you think more medical, whatever, pandemics? No. They're moving full speed ahead with a controversial plan to impose billions of dollars of global consumer taxes on such things as internet activity and everyday financial transactions like paying bills online. Now, who would have thought the World Health Organization would be involved in something like that?
Certainly not I. And I have to confess that I find that one very baffling. You know, on the other hand, closer to home, North Carolina has requested from Amazon a list of all citizens of that state's Amazon transactions going back years, apparently, because they want to tax those.
Going back, grandfathering?
Yes.
Really? How would you ever go about trying to figure something like that out?
Well, Amazon no doubt has history of purchase from consumers.
Right.
It's part of what they do to provide a service, knowing what you've purchased in the past. You know, if you bought this kind of a book, they'll say, hey, there's another book out by that author.
Right.
Things, right? So they do keep a generalized purchase history, and yeah, they've been asked to provide that because the state wants to go after them for taxes.
Well, and, you know, I don't have a problem with somebody tracking and tracing and who bought what and what's their general interest categories and so on and so forth for internal use, because that's part of marketing. But to have that information turned over to the government for tax purposes is another matter entirely.
Well, and not just the tax purposes. I mean, I have some very large concerns with that, but turning it over for any other purpose. Do you want the government to know which books you bought, what music you listened to? You know, there's a, for me, there's a wide range of concerns with that type of information transfer.
Well, and if you were to ask that question of Janet Napolitano, head of Homeland Security, what do you think her answer would be?
Well, see, that's one of the classic concerns. The more we know about every single individual, the better we can know who is going to present a risk. But to me, that means that our privacy has been stolen. And the one thing that I don't want to have happen after 9/11 is for the, you know, freaks who hit the towers and the Al-Qaeda behind them to have won and stolen the freedom and privacy from Americans, because now everyone is going to be watched and tracked. I think that would be a tragic outcome.
Well, boy, that's a rabbit hole that for purposes of this program I will not delve into, but it was just much more than that. There was a whole slew of things that happened as a green light. And here we go again with security. We've got to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
We had Patriot Act that was introduced. You mentioned earlier that you don't want people knowing your personal information. Well, here in this country, the FBI Terrorism Task Force and their wonderful people to keep us all safe, they can not only monitor your emails, every little keystroke, who you've sent your information, who you received the packets from, who you're talking to, and we've got all this stuff hooked up to computers, and we've got the keywords, and, well, we've got all these databases working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to keep us all safe. There's a problem with that. People that want to give up that that liberty for safety, there is some clashes that are going on right now. And this is a sad state of affairs. In order, it almost, you know what this, I was just going to say, Linda, this sounds like a script for a movie like Minority Report, that
mm-hmm.
if we gather enough information, we can be predictive in movements and events and so on and so forth. Sounds a little Orwellian. It sounds a little bit too 22nd century for me, but I don't think that we need this for people's security.
No, now I'm speaking as an individual, not on the behalf of the views of every company and organization within the Safe Internet Alliance, but speaking very specifically on my own, I think that the country needs to have a very clear discussion about the core principle. We keep skirting around it. What is safe enough, and what risks are we willing to take to ensure that our liberties and our freedom is intact? It goes to the count, even with school children.
Right.
Certain number of school children die getting to school every year crossing roads.
Hang on to that thought. We'll take this break. My guest today, Linda Criddle, the website, safeinternet.org.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Attention RBN listeners. The Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Another ragtag band declaring independence. Laid their bodies down on a bloody war.
You know, as during the break, I was sitting here thinking, you know, I wonder what the Founding Fathers would think about all this stuff. They did not envision the telegraph or the telephone. They knew what postal service was, and that was about it. Here we are, 21st century, something that is really a marvel, folks, technologically speaking, to be able, like a telephone. You know, I'm old school. I still happen to think one of the greatest inventions ever made was a telephone. You know, you can pick up that thing and punch a few numbers in it and talk to somebody on the planet as long as they have one of these little mechanisms on the other side. But technologically speaking, we've moved beyond that. Now we're into the realm of marketing and commerce and information. It is the information highway. People have discovered that, wait a minute, I can make some dollars by using the internet, and I've got not a problem with that. But again, going back to the control, people sniff out money. By the way, the Linda, the thing on the World Health Organization, it's doing this because, well, they just need more money. And they need the money because, well, they need to distribute drugs worldwide. And, well, this is part of the United Nations. And depending on your depth of knowledge of the United Nations, you know, we got climate change and all these wonderful organizations that are coming up worldwide just to tax people. Now, I have a real problem with this because my goals or my agenda in this country may not fit what's going on in somebody else's country, but we have these supranational organizations trying to take control of this. And it's pretty scary in its scope. And these people are working overtime to make this happen. And some of the things with the World Health Organization, and this will be on a permanent basis, you know, it's going to help them with their research and development. Well, like any bureaucratic organization, there is more waste and fraud going on within World Health Organization. If they cleaned their house up themselves within the confines of what they're supposed to be doing, they would have enough money, but they're complaining they don't. And they're saying that a digital or bit tax on internet activity could raise tens of billions of U.S. dollars. A 10% tax on international arms deals. And again, that goes ties nicely into the United Nations. A financial transaction tax, citing a Brazilian levy that was raising some $20 billion a year until it was canceled for unspecified reasons. An airline tax that already exists in 13 countries has raised some $1 billion. Isn't that wonderful? With people, with money that people don't have, we got to pay further tax for more security that doesn't work. Your overall feel about this whole let's control the internet for safety purposes, Linda, what's your take on it?
Well, safety, privacy, openness, all of these go on a scale. And we have to decide where the tipping point is. If someone said to me, we need safety so that sexual predators can't grab our children, you say, well, I agree with that. But what does that look like? You know, no one wants to have sexual predators grabbing children. We need safety so that the scammers can't operate online. Well, I agree, I don't want scammers online, but at what cost? And it's always that cost trade-off. And sometimes that cost trade-off is the crux of the matter. As I was saying right before the break, we accept as a society that some children are going to die while crossing the roads on their way to school, mm-hmm. because the alternative, you know, picking up every child and with a limo or whatever and from their doorstop and putting them in the school and all, isn't an acceptable trade-off. And so we need to say, as a society, what are our acceptable trade-offs? Are we willing to pay all these taxes? Are we willing to have this much regulation? Are we willing to forego these freedoms in order to potentially create a safer environment? And how do you define safe when the trade-off is freedom, which you may say, I'm not safe if I don't have my freedom.
Well, and that's an excellent point. You know, we're always told that, you know, security is good. If you don't have any, if you're not doing anything illegal, why would you mind if somebody did a cursory look at what you're doing? And this is not the precept, and this is not the concept of a free and open society. Here in this country, many of us still believe that liberty and freedom, that comes with responsibility. But we have inherent rights. Some people will argue they're God-given rights. They did that for a reason. How can you trump God, creator of the universe? Bring it down to more secular levels that, the child... Look, my answer to a lot of these criticisms, you know, if you want to be safe, if you want to be a bubble boy, if you want to live in a little vacuum for the rest of your life, that's going to be pretty hard to do, and you're opening up the door for people that want to take more control for your own benefit, and that in itself is a problem. There are inherent risks in life. We are born, and then we die. What happens in between is the adventure called life, but do we do it unfettered, or are we nannied from cradle to grave? We're talking today with Linda Criddle, president of the Safe Internet Alliance. Will take calls as well at 800-313-9443.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
If you have more than $25,000 in debt and are facing foreclosure, we can stop the foreclosure in one day and get you out of debt in 90 days without making a single payment. Did you know that debt settlement is illegal in at least 7 states and that if you hire an attorney to help you get out of debt, you'll pay 7 to 10 times more than legally necessary?
The system is rigged.
These guys get kickbacks from your creditors while charging you up front to get into nothing more than just another payment plan. Look, this isn't brain surgery. You just need the right information and the right help and answers to your questions. No clients of zero debt in 90 days have had to negotiate with creditors or go to court.
Our proven system stops collection calls in 1 minute.
Since 1993, we have helped over 80,000 people get out of debt without making a single payment to creditors. Get the right information today and get out of debt in just 90 days. Ask about our $25,000 guarantee and your free copy of 7 Secrets to Debt Freedom when you call 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256 or visit ZeroDebtGuarantee.com today.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Every day, RBN's mission is to use our collective voice to spread truth and relevant information for daily survival against the growing erosion of our constitutional rights and the growing tyranny in our government.
But truth, like freedom, isn't free.
The truth is, RBN needs your support against the growing evil forces in our government that are moving quickly to bring our nation down. If you agree with the mission of RBN and one unifying voice, please stand with us by donating any amount you can afford. Your support will also help us launch a new elected representative network that will be totally listener-supported and commercial-free. To donate, visit republicbroadcasting.org, call 800-724-2719, or mail your donation to Republic Broadcasting, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
Linda, I don't know how far down the rabbit hole you've gone on the cultural shift that's going on and, well, different aspects of an expanding morality and tolerance and all of those things. The internet is absolutely laden with pornographic materials. And if you don't want your children to be viewing internet sites that you would consider offensive, then that you don't want your young adults in training, you know, your children, to see, there are internet filters that you can install just like you can on your TV set. Would I prefer they not be there? That would be my first choice. You know, and you said something earlier about, you know, about that child, Linda, that crosses the street and doesn't look both ways. And they get run over. Just a couple of months ago, right here in beautiful little Round Rock, Texas, out in front of the community center, a child did not look both ways, walked out in the street, and promptly got crushed. Unfortunately, these things happen. They happen all the time. Now, what is the best way to stop that? Well, it's to teach your child to stop, look, and listen. You know, kind of like the they used to tell you about approaching railroad tracks. If you don't want your child to drown in their childhood, and you're afraid they're going to drown in the neighbor's pool, that they're going to climb that locked fence and get in, well, How about teaching your child how to swim? Firearms. Demonstrate to the child exactly what these things are, what it does, the end result of pulling that little trigger, and what happens. That could be instant death if you play around with it. These are things culturally that we're expected to believe that there's somehow greater benevolent forces there that care so much about me and my personal relations, and they're just going to get in there and make everything okay. When you, and I'm sure you've had opportunity to speak to organizations, and you probably get these questions all the time, what is your base response to queries such as this?
Well, you know, it's a complicated issue, I guess is how I start. When we think of the tragedy on the road, we say, okay, is this a frequent occurrence in one spot? We don't leave the roads unfettered. There are speed limits, there are fenders, there are sidewalks, there are, you know, crosswalks, there are, you know, all the things that we have around a road. We also keep, you know, fences around pools and things. But we say that's where we end the line. After that, yes, tragedies will occur, but as a society, we think that's the balance of our safety versus our freedom, and our security versus our freedom. And when you get online, we have to make those same choices. Where do those lines go, and then who applies those lines? As consumers, do we make a demand and expect companies to step up to that demand in the classic supply and demand model of capitalism, or does it go somewhere else? There are many very good family safety settings for the people who do not want to see pornography, who want to help manage, you know, what their kids see so they're not viewing hate speech or violence or, you know, a whole variety of content types that frankly aren't appropriate for young consumers. And then how do you allow families to apply their values on top of those so that it's not some entity saying this is acceptable for kids at this age or another? It's the balance of freedom and the tools for creating that environment online that you want to have.
Oh gosh, and now are we sliding down that slippery slope here? You know, I remember when I was in school, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Now we have hate crime legislation to protect people's feelings. How much of a personal responsibility do people want to accept? Why hasn't the internet companies and the internet providers, why haven't they figured out that, hey, you want to get online using our service or whatever? Hey, here's a little form. I accept the responsibility of myself and going into cyber world. I don't need a big fat insurance policy. I don't need to be shepherded and guided along the way. I accept the responsibility as an adult here I am and here it is, and away I go. What's wrong with that approach?
Well, now most companies have that. They're called terms and conditions. If you want to be on our website, you need to adhere to the following things. You can't be mean to other people. You can't plagiarize material or you know, steal copyrights. They have terms and conditions. What frustrates, I think, a lot of the people who want to put more controls in place is that most of these companies, though they have policies that say you can't do this, they do very little to enforce it. Now, some do an excellent job of enforcing it, but most companies have a little out clause that says, you know, we may or may not choose to handle this, but it's not acceptable.
Yeah, and there are all sorts of safeguards. I remember one day we exceeded what was expected on internet traffic, and my company said, hey, for your safety, we unplugged your web page. And I promptly got on the phone and I said, and who decided that we were being hacked? Well, we have certain criteria and policy. And I said, okay, I understand now. I wasn't aware of that before. Do me a favor, before any unplugging goes on, make that phone call. I don't want some zit-faced 19-year-old kid sitting in a computer console going, well, this looks abnormal, I'm going to unplug it. So there are safeguards out there. But culturally speaking, we've got online predators. Everybody is aware of this now. We have a cultural situation in this country now that, well, what's offensive and what isn't? And in a perfect world, I'd much prefer that your pornography still come in the brown paper wrapped to your residence and for your security and happiness and whatever. But it is all over the web, and people are wondering how do things get so out of control. Well, does it have something to do with a society that? Motion pictures now, PG-13, you're 13, just barely into the teens that your kid can go to and see full frontal nudity in a movie. Most of your comedies or whatever on television or is based around what? Sex? Sex sells, okay, I've bought enough. But these are one of the, what I call the Hegelian dialectics that are always foisted on us, Linda, that we're going to create something, and when it goes awry, we're going to demonstrate how it's gone awry, and then we're going to come up with a solution to the problem. What's your thoughts on this?
Well, I think that's really how things should work. I get very concerned when I see people trying to solve a problem that doesn't exist. Because maybe it will be a problem. I'd like to see that the problem, you know, is clearly defined before we try creating a fix. I think some problems can be clearly defined and anticipated, but I worry about safety measures or legislation that is trying to solve a problem that does not yet exist, and for all we know, will not exist. One of the things I think is really, truly fantastic about the Internet is that consumers literally have all the power. If consumers decide that they are angry at the way a website is behaving, right, there is nothing left. What is a website now if they have no users? And this gives then consumers a tremendous amount of power.
Well, and yeah, purchasing power and consumers, you know, consumers are people too. And the problem I'm seeing here is this is being viewed as, it's kind of like some bean counter would take a look at books or economies or whatever. I mean, it's very ethereal. It's kind of well-intended, but you know, how accurate is it? And again, the personal responsibility issue is what we're convinced that we're not able to handle. So therefore, we got to have people, organizations, or bureaucracies, or government, or something to come in to our rescue. I don't see that much of a problem. What I want to enforce here is that, you know, if you don't want your kids looking at pornography, do you know where the history button is? Does your kid know how to use that? Do you monitor what your children are doing? Have you made an attempt to block offensive materials, either on television? Do you let them go unfettered 5 hours a day to watch whatever the heck they want on cable television? Well, my goodness, if that's your attitude and that's your babysitter, don't complain when things go awry. So again, they're trying to convince us that it is so big and is so complex and so out of control that we need control.
Yeah, and I would suggest that when you say we need control, that any controls that are designed should be controls that are completely controlled by the consumer and not by something in between. And that's why consumers, with all the power that they have, if they say, you know what, I want something better, or I want something less, or I want something more, they can vote with their feet. And if it's lucrative, a company will build that solution, and they can use it. But putting the control in a intermediary layer can be very, very concerning. Yes, we do want someone to say food must have been tested so that you're not putting out food that has salmonella. And if you find it, we're going to recall it. That's something that an individual consumer can't test for. I can't test everything I bite. I can't know with every piece of clothing that I purchase if it's going to have a flame retardant that is carcinogenous. So there are some things that are perhaps outside what an individual can manage in terms of their own safety. I can't test every car for how well it's going to behave in a crash. But most things I do want to be able to specifically control. How my children are online, how I'm online. And in those cases, I feel that it's important that those safety controls are there for people to use as they choose, and not to legislate in some other fashion. It's important that people recognize, though I find pornography distasteful, it is not illegal. And therefore, people have the right to go see that content. If we don't find that acceptable, we as a nation need to say that content should also be illegal. And we can vote and make it go that direction. But to legislate or try to force people to not be able to see that content because I find it distasteful is my stealing their rights. Now, when it goes to illegal, that's a different matter. But that choice needs to remain with the consumer.
Well, and there, and I'm sure you're aware of this one, there is a bill that was drafted in April. Senator Jay Rockefeller of West Virginia. Olympia Snow is involved in this, and I think she is from, out of Maine. She's a Republican.
Maine, yes.
Out of Maine. And they came up and they held this, they tried to keep this pretty much in under wraps, but CNET News obtained a copy of the 55-page draft of S-773. Which still appears to permit the president to seize temporary control of private sector networks during a so-called cybersecurity emergency. What exactly is a cybersecurity emergency?
Well, I think you're looking at things like what happened to Estonia when their entire country was internet system was hijacked and shut down. You know, if the internet was shut down in America, no transactions, no commerce, no banking, no businesses, everything would completely shut down. Our electric grids, our water supplies, everything is now controlled through digital pathways. And I assume that the type of disaster that they were feeling would require such a draconian step would be if the entire system was compromised. I mean, that puts our military capability at risk as well as our electricity and drinking water. And such a thing would be really quite cataclysmic. I was last week down in your fair state in Dallas at the first worldwide cybersecurity summit where we were discussing cyber warfare, cyber terrorism, you know, and some of those things.
Well, wait a minute here. Al-Qaeda, Osama bin Laden, isn't sitting on his laptop in some cave in Afghanistan and is going to crash my computer or system here in this country. Things are over-evaluated and pushed over the top. Getting back to this S-773, this new version would allow the president to declare a cybersecurity emergency relating to non-governmental computer networks. Now, what that means is everything in the private sector.
Yes.
And do what's necessary to respond to that threat. Other sections of the proposal include a federal set of certification program for cybersecurity professionals, or is that licensing thing, and a requirement that certain computer systems and networks in private sector be managed by people who have been awarded that license. So here comes the control, here comes some bureaucracy, and bureaucrats scare the hell out of me because, you know, they can't manage themselves, let alone everybody else's lives. But at any rate, and Larry Clinton from the Internet Security Alliance says that, you know, it's unclear what authority Rockefeller thinks is necessary over the private sector. Unless this is clarified, we can't properly analyze, let alone support the bill. Here's Here's the overall problem I'm having here. It seems to be a matter of degrees. Now, if it is a maxim that, look, it's internet, personal responsibility, okay, some people might get hacked, they might get spammed, they might even end up with a pornographic site that you didn't want on your computer, and you got worms and everything else. There are ways to fix that. But here again, the problem is that it is not the from the outset going, okay, there are going to be inherent problems with something as free as the internet, but the thing is not control. And my God in heaven, we're being convinced all the time. Have you noticed through the medias that everything is under threat? Threat, 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 threat. You can't put your feet on the floor after a good night's sleep without your stomach starting to twinge, and God, you're so insecure because you're being threatened so much. How much of this stuff is being overhyped to the American people? I want to get into that subject with my guest after this break.
This is an important message from hempusa.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit hempusa.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid 3 times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Always getting snagged by my engineer during breaks. At any rate, so when you did your own site here, oh, by the way, I ask you a question. Care to respond? I'm already moving on here.
Well, you caught me flat-footed. I can't remember the question.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's do this. Richard in Oklahoma, while we gather our thoughts. Hello, Richard.
Let me get this straight. The terrorists said that they're going to shut the internet down, and all banking and everything goes down. Meanwhile, Obama makes a law that says if the terrorists don't do it, I will.
Well, first, let's back up. There is a proposal by two senators to consider granting the president, as chief and commander of the military forces, I'm assuming, the ability to respond in case of a all-out cyber attack against the U.S. And I don't know if Osama bin Laden is necessarily their angst point. We do know that close to 150 countries at least have acknowledged that they are conducting cyber warfare. And I think a lot of the concern is that, unlike any other infrastructure in the country, the internet doesn't distinguish between, oh, these are the military wires and these are the rest of the population wires. So if one thing gets hit, it really takes us out across the board. It's not like in war where you say bomb the barracks and the military buildings, but leave the hospital safe. Yeah. If you attack the internet, it's everything.
Yeah.
Well, my intelligence sources told me that back in 2002, Osama bin Laden was dead from his kidney disease. So, but it was that super international boogeyman that we got to watch out for, because they're going to get us.
Well, yes, and that was the question you asked me, and I remember it now. I do believe that there is a culture of fear-mongering that has taken over the country, and that every decision that we're asked to make is based on this worst-case scenario. And I actually think my biggest concern is people believing that these worst-case scenarios are somehow going to be our reality.
Yeah. John.
Yes.
I don't know how many rabbit holes she's been down, but there's one that you need to tell her about. You know, Burmese's film?
Go ahead. You're here. Go ahead.
Yeah, Loose Change. You really need to watch Loose Change, and that will send you down rabbit holes.
Okay. All right, hey, thanks for your call, Richard. I appreciate it. Yeah. Tell you what, Linda, hang on. If you can hang on just a little while longer into the next hour, there's a couple more other things I want to cover here. So hang on. And, folks, if you've got to dive out, you've got a dentist appointment to go to, or you got to go cook dinner and you can't hear the radio, here's the websites. SafeInternet.org and her own personal site, ILookBothWays.com. We'll take the break, be back here after the top of the hour break with my guest today, Linda Criddle, president of the Safe Internet Alliance. And I'm going to get around to the obvious question. Dear lady, what do you consider to be reasonable? Ooh, many things are being slipped by us by that term, just being reasonable. We'll take the break. We'll be right back.